So Sean's going to come up here and he is going to share from Genesis, I believe, about something about Joseph, a popular guy in Genesis. All right?
Is this thing on? Yeah, it's on. Okay, word. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Ayo. Silas asked if I wanted to do a message tonight, and I said, try to find someone else first, because I literally won't say no. So, tonight I'm jumping, like, quite far ahead from where we've been, kind of towards the end of Joseph's story. So we're going to be reading out of Genesis chapter 45. But before that, let me pray. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight, Lord. Thank you for each and every student here, Lord. Lord, please just bless this time. Lord, guard my tongue that I just may speak your truth to these students. Lord, help us to be transformed by your word. And Lord, just may it shape us. And may we leave here with a newfound love and appreciation for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to be reading Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 8, which says, Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt." So a little bit of context about Joseph. So Joseph has three brothers, right? I think three brothers who all hated him. Joseph was the youngest, and he's one of Jacob's sons. Or Israel's sons. And Jacob loved Joseph, showered him with all kinds of love and affection. So that's what caused his brothers to hate him. So then one day, Jacob sends all of his sons out to go retrieve some stuff. And on the way there, Joseph's brothers run into a tradesman. And they sell off Joseph to this tradesman. And they come back, and Jacob's like, "What happened to Joseph?" And they're like, "We don't know." So first he gets sold in slavery in Egypt. And then when he gets to Egypt, there's this man named Potiphar, who's this really powerful figure in Egypt. And Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph. And Joseph is like, "No, no, no, I don't want that." So Potiphar's wife gets mad, so she says he tried to assault her and gets him thrown into prison. That's two times Joseph has been totally wronged by other people. But while he's in prison, Joseph has this kind of unique ability, you see. Joseph's really good at interpreting dreams, and he interprets some dreams for people. And word gets around until Pharaoh's like, "Hey, I want this dude to come interpret my dreams." And he does that. And Pharaoh's like, this dude's awesome. Like, I'm going to make you super powerful and everything. And Joseph's like, hey, cool. So he rises to power. And then after all this time has gone by, Joseph's brothers return and they meet with him. And Joseph immediately realizes who they are, but they don't recognize Joseph. So Joseph kind of, he's a little mean with them at first. He accuses them of being spies. He says, like, get out of here, you're spies. And they're like, what is he talking about? Like, we're not spies. Like, we're here to get food and stuff because there's this huge famine. So he treats them very harshly at first. And then finally here in chapter 45, he confesses to his brothers. He's like, I'm Joseph, your brother, the one you sold in slavery. And they're like, what? How is this possible? And he's like, don't worry. I'm sure you're beside yourself, you know, because you sold me into slavery and everything, which is a really terrible thing to do to your little brother. But he says, don't worry, because it wasn't you who sent me here, but God sent me here to preserve a lineage. So there's a little quote or phrase that kind of comes to mind when I read about Joseph's story. And it goes, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Now, I gotta be honest, I don't really have a story like Joseph's. I've never experienced being wronged by others, you know, or something like, oh, they intended to do something evil to me and it ended up being good. Or I can't relate to Joseph 100% through this. I've definitely been through some difficult times in my life, but most of them were my fault or they were kind of self-inflicted. So I can't quite relate to Joseph's situation because Joseph was innocent in everything that he did, and he just got a very bad deal. And most of the time when I've had a bad deal, it was because, like, I said something or I did something or I put myself in a situation to be punished or something bad to happen. But have any of you guys ever been in a situation like Joseph's? Like, I don't know, someone was mean to you and it's like you didn't deserve it. No. Well, I'd say that's a good thing. I'd take that as a positive.
Oh yeah, I have one.
You have one?
Asher called me a big bat in ASL yesterday. And he pulled out a bag of chips and I was like, oh.
A big
it's like
a bad
accusation.
Oh,
that's not nice.
Asher.
False accusations. You never said a word.
Oh.
Allegedly,
it's made up.
Okay. That's interesting. Does anyone else, does anything come to mind? I can't. All right. So I don't have a story quite like Joseph's to tell, but, I do have something, I want to share, or something adjacent. I think a lot of you guys were here like a couple of weeks ago when I said I was in college for 8 years. Who was here for that? Yeah, there was a lot of people who were here for that. I'm going to share a little bit of why that was. So I went to CCM, County College of Morris, right here, for 5 years. I went to CCM, which is way longer than it should have been. Uh-huh. So, like I said, not like Joseph's, because I really didn't study hard at school, and I dropped more than a few classes. And so it was very much self-inflicted. But that I was there for 5 years, and then my last semester was coming around at CCM. I was finally getting ready to transfer, and I met this girl in my ASL class, and I was interested in this girl, and I found out she was going to this place called Stockton University, which is where it's my alma mater. It's where I got my undergrad. So what happens? I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check this school out. And I go look at it online, and I'm like, hey, you know, this looks pretty cool. And I was a communications major at CCM, and I was like, oh, they have a communication studies program. And I'm like, that's really interesting. And I was looking at the school, and before this, my plan was just to go to Rutgers because I didn't know where else to go or what I wanted to do. And I was like, hey, you know, like, this might actually be a really good fit for me. And then I toured the school, and I was like, the second I stepped foot on the campus, I was like, this is it. Like, I knew right away. It's like, this is it. This is where I want to go to school. And I got in and everything. And so funny enough, my last semester, I was at CCM. I met this girl, and she showed me this school that ended up being the school that I went to, which is what led to me becoming a Christian. So my first week there, you can imagine being a 23-year-old kid who's never moved out of his hometown, even going 2 hours south to South Jersey can be pretty nerve-wracking. And I didn't know anyone. And I was pretty lonely, naturally. And my like first week there, one of my RAs told me that they were a Christian. They were a part of this Christian club that was on campus. And, you know, I was feeling really lonely. And it's like, I went to them and I was like, hey, can we talk? Because, like, I was raised Catholic. So I kind of knew the whole Jesus thing. And, but I had never really known Jesus or followed him. And I just was curious and wanted to learn more about it. And we talked for like a really long time, and it got super personal. And at the end of it, she's like, okay, hey, like, I gotta go. She had a leadership meeting to get to. She's like, tell you what, if you want, like, you can come with us to SEF. Like, we'll drive you over. And I was like, yeah, I got nothing better to do. And I went, and as soon as I walked in, everyone was super friendly. And they're all like, this girl, my sister, Isabel, now, she like walks up to me and she's like, hi, it's so nice to meet you. Welcome. And I was like, oh, hey. I was like a little skittish at first. But then I started to meet a whole bunch of other people. And all of a sudden, just like that, my loneliness problem was solved. And we had a pastor come up and give a lesson, and it was on James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds. And I remember, like, I was paying attention, and it really, like, appealed to me, and I just kept going to SEF, and it's what led me to coming to Christ, and I met my sister Grace, who went to church here her whole life, and she brought me here over spring break, and that's how I found out about this place. And then one thing, it was like a stack of dominoes just started crashing. And I was like, all this happened was because I was in community college for 5 years. You know, if I had done 2 years there, I never would have met this person. I never would have gone down this path. So what I intended for evil, I guess, God intended for good. Similar to Joseph's situation, granted, Joseph has it a lot worse than I did. You know, he gets sold into slavery. He gets thrown in prison. Joseph was innocent in all this. It's like, why'd all this stuff have to happen to Joseph? Like, why would his, like, I'm sure to any of you who are siblings, there have been times where you've hated your siblings. You've been, like, super mad at them. But, myself included. But I've never wanted to sell my sister into slavery. Like, that's pretty harsh. And it's like, so what does it mean exactly, like, that God takes evil things and makes good things out of them? It's like, why did Joseph have to go through all of this? And it's like, he says it right here. He says, God sent me before you to preserve life. Now for me, that's kind of a cop-out. It's like, okay, God sent me here so that I wouldn't starve in a famine or whatever. It's like, okay, but why did it have to be me? Like, why couldn't it have been one of my other brothers, you know? But I guess kind of the point is, God allows it to happen, but it wasn't necessarily God's intention for Joseph to go through this, but, you know, it was his brothers who sold him into slavery. You know, it was his brothers' sinful actions against him that caused him to have to go through all of that. And it's like, so what did God do? God gave him this wonderful gift, the ability to interpret people's dreams, that led to him meeting the Pharaoh, that led to him having all of this power. Now it's like, do you think Joseph was like sitting there as like, I think he was like a governor or something of like an entire estate. Do you think he was like, oh man, like, it's so terrible. Like, I got sold into slavery. It's like, but yeah, but you got all this great stuff out of it. You think he's like, oh, I don't want this stuff. It's like, no, something good came out of it. And, you know, it's, or kind of going back to my situation, it was like, oh yeah, I was in college for way longer than I should have been, which was my fault. But something really good came out of it. I not only got to receive and understand the grace and mercy of an all-loving and all-powerful God, but I also, ever since I was little, I've always struggled with loneliness ever since I was little. You know, like in elementary school, middle school, high school, like I was bullied a lot because I was the weird kid. I never fit in with anyone, and I always had this like strong desire to be a part of something. And God gave me that family that I always wanted. Like when I think back to those early months in SCF, like when I was like getting to know my friends, it's like, or, you know, I call them my brothers and my sisters for a reason, because they really are my family. And it's like, if I had to go back and do it all over again, it's like, oh, would I do things differently? Well, the temptation's definitely there. But ultimately, what I received in return was so much more than everything I had to suffer. And I think it was the same case with Joseph. Or at least I like to believe that what was going on in Joseph's head is, like, God has given me so much more than he's put me through. And, you know, that there is a bigger picture at play here. You know, you guys might be going through something right now, or maybe you just went through something that was really difficult, and you're like, God, what's the point in all of this? And maybe you have figured it out, maybe you haven't figured it out, but the point is, like, stories like Joseph, you know, inspire me and remind me that it's like God is not, he's not absent. You know, he's always present, and he's always working everything out for our greatest good, even when it doesn't feel like it. And if you are going through difficult times right now, believe me when I say I'm sorry, and I wish you didn't have to, but the unfortunate truth is that tough times are a part of life. And an old teacher or an old disciple of mine told me that still really sticks with me to this day is the best thing you can teach someone, or the best thing you can do for someone who's going through a difficult time, is to teach them how to help themselves. Because, you know, when you're going through difficult times, or maybe this isn't the case with you, but I tend to isolate. I tend to, like, just get away from people, or so you want to try to help people to help themselves. And for me, the greatest thing I can teach someone is during those hard times to really just trust in God that he cares for you and he is present. Because I found that when I'm facing those huge obstacles, like I don't know how I'm gonna get through this, or I don't know how I'm gonna overcome this. When I look to God or I look to Jesus, I'm reminded that he's always present. Suddenly it doesn't feel so bad. Like, you know, the worst thing you can do is go through something alone. It's like no one likes feeling like they have to go through things alone. So remember that God isn't, or he's present all the time. And when we're in those lows or those difficult times, that's the best time to cling to him. That's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, in a superhero movie or like a comic book or something, when, like, you know, the hero is like faced with this overwhelming bad guy, and he's like, I don't know how I'm gonna stop this dude. And God's just like, dude, I have this huge sword for you right here that you can, like, easily beat him with. It's like, oh yeah. Clinging to God should be easiest when we're going through difficult times. Now that I'm older, it's hard, or it I've realized it's a lot harder to cling to God when things are going well, but it's so easy when we're going through difficult times, right? And God is not apathetic, meaning like God cares during our suffering, and that is my hope for you all tonight. Is that if you were to leave with one thing, you would understand that God cares all the time, and that you can cling to Him. And we have proof of this because of Jesus, because God gave His only Son as payment for our sins. It's like, there's your proof right there. You don't need any. You don't ever need to doubt. It's like He gave us His only Son. That's the total package right there. I can't give you any better evidence for that God loves you. He gave His only Son for you. Thank you all. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you that you are with us, Lord, all the time. Lord, we can always turn to you for comfort and joy. Lord, we thank you for your Son, for Jesus, as being the ultimate display of your love. God, we thank you that you draw near to us. You desire us. You want us to be with you, Lord. You don't need us, but you still want us. And God, I pray that we would just remember that and that we would cling to you each and every day, especially in those hard times, God, that I know we're all going to face, Lord. Lord, we thank you for stories like Joseph. And we can see that despite all of the hard times and terrible things, that you still work through them and you can bless us through these difficult times. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.